Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville. App, they tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow night for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores take on Texas Tech on the road. Tip-off is at 6.30 p.m. with pregame beginning at 6 p.m. Willie, how are we feeling about this one? Plead the fifth?
Ooh.
I'm not sure I have a feeling. They need to get it going here. They haven't played well. I want to see a connected team. That's what I want to see.
And you haven't seen that yet.
I have not seen that yet. And there have been some reasons that make sense, injuries, et cetera, but it's time, man. They're behind. They're behind. I know there's something better than what they've played so far. Because
you and I can stand in solidarity with our bad basketball team.
Yeah, well,
I'm not doing any better, so don't worry about it.
The standard is higher. The standard is higher after what they did last year and the year before. They had some encouraging things. They're making some progress, and they want to take that next step, and they've gone in the other direction. So it's I know how frustrating it's been. Certainly you can tell from the fans. And I know it's frustrating for the coaching staff because I feel like they thought – they were ready to take that next step, and they have hit some serious skids here. They have not gotten on track at all. It hasn't looked good. Still time. There's still time, but it's time.
Yeah.
They're behind.
It's time.
There's still time, but it's time.
Vanderbilt men's basketball coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app. The Predators hit the road, taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Joining us now to break it all down is C. Mace, Chris Mason. Chris Mason segment is brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. C. Mace, appreciate you for joining us. UC Saros has been absolutely lights out. Four of his last five games, he's had a 9.5 save percentage or better. The Preds are on a five-game winning streak. C. Mace, is that the difference? Is the way that UC Saros is playing now the difference between this team being as good as they have been, winning as many games as they have been, versus maybe the 5-10 start?
I think so. I really do. I think, you know, the beginning of the year, I think there was a lot of, I'd say, inconsistencies and maybe the guys executing what Brunette was trying to teach them in terms of systematic execution and maybe just finding the right chemistry and just understanding of when he says certain things, what's expected of it. And maybe, you know, this team kind of understanding the standard of the way that they have to play. You know, it takes time. And I think though, when you do have, cause I don't think they've played necessarily great in all these games. I mean, they hung on in Montreal and, you know, that was UC Saros. And I think that's the ultimate equalizer or difference maker is when you have a goalie playing the way that he does. You know, you saw it last season too, when you had all the young guys call up, they went on that run. A lot of it was a team that's fun to watch. They worked their butt off. This year's version of the team is the games are extremely fun. It's fast hockey, a lot of back and forth, but you talk about the ultimate difference maker in sports and it's your goaltender in hockey. So I think, you know, there's no question that, you know, his play has been, you know, one of the biggest reasons for their success.
And you bring up how they haven't necessarily played great. That's something that Andrew Brunette said after the overtime win. Lack of overtime, I guess, you know, 18 seconds of overtime, overtime nonetheless. after the win against Philadelphia, Andrew Brunette said, look, we didn't play great. I didn't love the way that we played. But C-Mace, that's almost encouraging to me that even when they don't play their best brand of hockey, they're still finding ways to win games.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think that's honestly, it's a sign of a good team. Just because, I mean, a lot of times I think when you cover one team or you're a fan of one team, you often lose sight of the opposition and maybe discount how good they are or, you know, how well they're playing or they're, you know, it's like when you, sometimes coaches can do this too, or you do this, every goal you score is awesome and you did all the right things, but every goal that you know, you let up is because you made a mistake, right? There's balance in there. And I think that game against Philadelphia, I mean, you have to give them a ton of credit. That team was legit. They played their butt off. They probably deserved to win. But we had the one player that could make the ultimate difference in the game, you know, play incredible. So they got beat in a game where they probably didn't deserve to. And I think that is a sign of a good team because the way it's constructed. I mean, whether this team plays good or bad, they're leaving it all out there every night. And I think Nashville's always had that kind of I think the fan base appreciates the blue collar effort. And I think any sports team, you can understand their limitations and really, you know, how good they are if they're championship level or if they're a team that's going to be scratching and clawing all season long just to get in the playoffs. And it's fun to follow the storylines and the ups and downs of the season. You get emotionally attached. And I just think this is a team that, you know, our fans appreciate watching because, you know, there's no games. I mean, you guys know probably the last few years, there's been a lot of stretches or games where you question, you know, the work ethic of the team and those types of things. And that's never fun to be frustrated with that type of a mindset. And, the season's different. They're just battling. They're going out and they're finding ways, not always pretty. You know, sometimes Juice has to stand on his head. You know, sometimes he'll be average and you'll have, you know, guys blocking shots out there and, you know, getting to the net and getting gritty goals. It's just a fun team to cover this year. There's no question about that for me.
We talked with C. Mace, the other half of the television broadcast, with my, you know, partner to my right, Willie Donick. C. Mace, what are some things that you are surprised with this team at this point of the season, and what are some things that, in order for this team to continue to you know, trend the way that they're trending, meaning the playoff team, what are some things that they need to clean up moving forward?
Well, I think I was going to say I was surprised. I would say, you know, after when they're sitting at 5-10, I was thinking, I might have even said to Willie, you know, something along the lines of, I guess we won't be, you know, working in April type of thing. Like I thought, you know, and I know that's quick mm-hmm. to make judgment on a team that is put together. But I would say what surprised me is how quickly they kind of forged their own identity, and maybe the impact of the players that we heard about in the off season that were, you know, kind of brought in to change the culture and the, you know, the feel of this team. Because I think, you know, any leader, let's say Ryan O'Reilly, you know, he's had to at some point, you know, follow somebody else and learn from other people and, you know, to develop, you know, those types of leadership skills, because you follow other leaders that aren't good leaders, you learn how not to lead. You follow other leaders that are great leaders, you learn how to lead, and you put your own spin on that. And I feel, you know, him coming in, all these young players, and he's not the only one. I think, you know, you bring in another strong personality, it helps the guys here that were considered, you know, strong leaders get even better. And it's been, I'd say, how quickly that has kind of played itself out. Because a lot of times when you go to a new team, depending on the circumstance, even though you might have been, you know, a captain like Ryan McDonough on another team or an assistant captain, it takes a while for you to find your spot. You don't want to step on anybody's toes. You want to make sure that you're, you know, earning the respect of the guys before you start being vocal. And you know, it's a process in some of those situations. But I would say this year was unique because they brought in so many players. And the thing that surprised me is how quickly it kind of unfolded and transpired, the dichotomy of the leadership on this team and the way that it's kind of really sorted itself out. And I think, you know, for our young players, they're getting such incredible examples and mentors here. One day when they're the leaders, that you'll look back at, you know, this year, I think in particular, and you're going to hear them say, well, you know, I was out every night with Ryan, or every morning with Ryan O'Reilly working on this, or I learned this situation from Ryan McDonough or Gus Nyquist or Roman Josi. I just think it's a really pinnacle time, I think, in the organization, because a lot of the youth will be referring back to this. Mm-hmm. And so that surprised me how quickly that, and I said, what they need to do to get better is, I think, you know, for me, the big thing is Tommy Novak got back. We need him to get back to contributing offensively. That line was really good before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Cody Glass, he was awesome this year. He's had a tough year injury-wise. I think we need a couple of those key components in the middle of the lineup to get back to production. And then I think you got a team that's extremely hard to play against, no matter who's on the ice.
Chris Mason is with us. The Predators take on Carolina tonight on the road. It's on ESPN+. And of course, you can hear it here on 102.5 The Game, with Pete Weber and Hal Gill on the call. Tomorrow night, the Predators are back home against the Washington Capitals. So a lot of games against the East and a lot of games in a short period of time. So, Mace, let's talk Carolina. It's been kind of a house of horrors over the years. Last year, the Predators managed actually to beat Carolina twice, and it was both in, you know, harrowing fashion, tightrope walking. I think it was the 64-save performance by Saros last year. And then it was a late in the year dramatic win with some of those unknowns. And it was a really good character win. Let's look at Carolina, though. It's the same group, right? Same coach, Rod Brind'Amour. They're going to attack you all over the place. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to get a lot of shots. They're going to stifle you defensively. But this year, maybe even more so than before, they haven't gotten the goaltending, although last night they did, and they won in Detroit, which is a tough place to play. So what are you seeing with this Carolina team? And when you watch them play, what are the things you have to do well to be successful against them?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, this year has been really different for them. I think, you know, they've had quite a bit of up and down already this season. And I think back to Rod Brind'Amour's bench hit a couple weeks ago. He's like, oh, we're lucky that we're not losing. Are we trying to lose 50-0 here in the first period? You know, they've had some really weird games this season. But I think going into that building, and you mentioned Nashville's always had trouble there. And you needed Saros to make the 64 saves just to win that hockey game. But you're under attack. They skate. Every single one on their lineup, their work ethic, they really emulate their coach. Rod Brind'Amour is one of the hardest working guys as a player. And he's just, you know, that physical conditioning type of an athlete. And he really gets a lot out of his team in terms of, you know, that type of a player as a group, which I think is pretty special. So I would expect that from them, and I would expect their best, because you've got that every single time you go in there. It's a talented team. It's a team that a lot of people picked at the beginning of the year as the favorite to win the Stanley Cup this year, coming out of the East, which is crazy. You know how tough that conference was last year. So they're going to have to be ready. And, you know, it looks like might be Kevin Lankinen tonight, which is he's been put in a lot of situations like that, where he's played the Rangers, the Maple Leafs. You know, they came up short in a couple of those games, but you're talking about top teams and top competition that he's having to deal with. So I think the guy's got to be ready defensively, and I think they got to be ready to work.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Bates, because the goaltending tandems are so important. You've got Carolina in a back-to-back. So last night, Pyotr Kochetkov played really well in Detroit. I would imagine they would come back with Antti Raanta tonight, who has struggled some, but he's obviously a very capable goalie. And then your Predators are beginning a back-to-back with what they've got going here. And as you mentioned, they've been going Lankinen in the front end of back-to-backs and then coming back with Saros in the back end. But the usage of the goaltenders is such a big thing for each team throughout the league, and it seems like the trend is you play the backup more, but it probably goes against a lot of traditional thought, right? Especially if you've got a really good number one.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the Predators, I think we've seen over the last couple of years how fortunate they are to have somebody like Lankinen. I remember, you know, when he signed the 1-year deal, I was thinking, man, if he had went to free agency, he probably could have got, you know, 2 or 3 years at more, you know, money for the thing, but he loves it here. And, you know, we're seeing the benefit of that. He had a great year last year, really developed a great relationship with Ben Vanderklok. I feel like he's commented on the games that he had last year. Obviously, the friendship with UC Saros. But, you know, he's put himself in a position where I feel he could start for other teams. This is a guy that, you know, a lot of times you have a backup that's like, oh, he's a good number two. You know, he can get you some good games during the season, give our guy a rest, but, you know, he's not gonna steal anything for you. He's just serviceable. But where Kevin Lankinen has put himself in a position where, you know, the coaching staff can put him in at any time against any opponent. You don't have to hide him. You don't have to say, oh, man, we're playing the Maple Leafs. We have to play, you know, Juice against this game, or we're going into Carolina. We know what it's like in there. You have to play Saros. So I think having that is, you know, the Predators are going to be fighting for a wild card, you know, the entire year. Maybe, you know, if they're lucky enough to keep this thing going and fight for that third spot. I think Dallas is in the third spot right now. But anyway, you know, get to that a point where, you know, you have these two goaltenders that it's not much of a drop off. I mean, Saros is obviously one of the best in the world, but in terms of the way Lankinen, I think what was Undertaker telling us, Willie? He's had percentage of starts that are quality starts.
Yeah, quality starts. He's got a very good percentage of quality starts. In other words, he's giving them a chance to win a huge percentage of the time, and for a backup, that's pretty good. So all that being said, Mace, I think that's it's a great question because UC Saros is the last few years been one of the most worked goalies in the league. But a lot of these researchers now in the cutting edge stuff, the analytics and the conditioning stuff, they suggest that you should play the backup more. You'll get more out of your team by doing that. But obviously, when you've got a superstar like Saros, it's tempting to put him in there. What do you think the right balance is in a perfect world? We know that injuries and, you know, the schedule can tweak it a little bit there, but is it closer to 60 or closer to 55? Because some people say it should be no more than about 55, but Saros tends to be on the higher end.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's tough when you're sitting there, you're making a lineup, and, you know, you're talking about games that the Predators know very well that every game they play in could be, you know, this week could be the difference of us getting to the playoffs or not. And so you have to find the balance. I think a lot of that is the communication with Ben Vanderklok, UC Saros, David Good, about how to, the strength coach for the Nashville Predators, is how to balance this and make sure that when you get to, you know, March, April, when you're going down the stretch and you maybe you're in a situation where you have to ride your goaltender, that he has enough in the tank. And then ultimately, if you get into the playoffs, that he's going to be able to perform, you know, at his elite level. And I don't have an answer for that because some guys are physically more able to play and to handle that workload. And I think UC Saros is one of those guys, like any superstar, who all he does is prepare himself to play as many games as possible. He wants to play every single night, but that's the tough decision, I guess, of the coaching staff is how to balance that. Because at the end of the day, I think, like you said, people know that you have to limit that play during the season to help be more effective later, even though, you know, you're telling Saros, hey, I know you want to play. I know you want to play every single game. I know you want to play tonight, but we're going with Lanx. And he's a good teammate in that regard. So it's very situational and very personal. But I would say that 55 to 60 is probably the magic number.
C-Maze, appreciate your time. Enjoy a Friday night at home. And have a good call tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. Awesome. Take care. Have a great
appreciate
day.
It. Yep. Appreciate it, C-Maze. Chris Mason, he is the absolute best. We'll get into your phones on this coming up next. Plus, I mean, the Predators, at least through the first third of the season, have exceeded my expectations. This team is so freaking fun to watch. So have the expectations changed? We'll get into that coming up next. Of course, your phones as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, The Game.